Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Time for a confession. Who watches Antique Roadshow or Cash in the Attic or all those programs? It's that program where people bring along their knickknacks and their family heirlooms and things they found on a flea market, and there's an expert there that looks at them and says, "Oh wow, this ordinary looking vase was actually made by a Polish genius, and there's only a few of them, and you only paid £18, and it's worth £45,000. And then all the viewers run to their attics and start looking around in their granny's cupboard to see if they can see an ordinary-looking vase that could be worth all that money. Because it is true that sometimes the greatest treasure comes in ordinary-looking jars, and it's definitely true in the kingdom. And in verse 7 of our reading, Paul uses a word for jars of clay, which refers to just ordinary earthenware, basic jars. You know, they're just everyday jars. They're not made of gold or silver or copper. They're just fragile jars that are easily broken. They're nothing special at all. And Paul is saying we are basically brown jars, ordinary brown jars. We're not vases from the Ming Dynasty, and we're not Grecian urns. And I just want to make 3 points tonight, 3 points from our passage, and they are these: be humble, be real, and be ready to use or share the treasure within you. So we're not Ming vases or Grecian urns. We're pretty imperfect, oversensitive, emotionally fragile, easily broken. And every jar of clay is different. We're all different. We're all different shapes and sizes. We're all unique. We're all individual. But we are jars of clay. God didn't choose us because we're beautiful or we've got the perfect body or we're rich or we're famous. He chose us because he loves us. He loves each one of us. And as ordinary as we are, we're special to him. And as flawed as we are, we're special to him. In Jeremiah 18, it's the famous verses about the potter and the clay. And in verse 4 of Jeremiah 18, it says this: but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot and shaped it as seemed best to him. And when you read the Bible, it's full of flawed pots, people who are not perfect. Abraham lied about his wife. Jacob was a deceiver. Moses murdered an Egyptian. Samson had a problem with lust and anger. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Peter denied Christ. Paul and Barnabas argued all the time. And it goes on and on. They're just flawed people like you and I. But God uses ordinary, flawed jars of clay like you and me. He prefers people who know their weaknesses, their flaws, admit their mistakes and come to him. He chooses flawed people with a bad past, a shaky present, and an uncertain future. And he alone, says our passage tonight, gets the glory when they accomplish amazing things by his power. We are channels. We carry him with the jar. He's in us. And that's what Paul's saying in our reading tonight. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And true humility before God comes when we can see ourselves as the jars of clay that we are. And we give ourselves over to God in order to lose ourselves and become someone that he can use. And humility is the place where we are totally dependent on God. We are much loved, ordinary jars of clay. I was reading a book a while ago about the famous evangelist Billy Graham. And scholars apparently have looked at his sermons and said, well, they're not particularly unique. You know, he's not that good a scholar. And somebody said, I wonder why God used Billy Graham. And the answer somebody gave was because God knew that Billy Graham would not try to steal the glory for himself. He was a real servant of God. Can God trust us to give him the glory? Are we just an open channel for him, and everything that we do and every area we serve him, we give him the glory? God wants the world to see what he can do through ordinary people like you and I. And that's why he puts his treasure in ordinary jars of clay like you and I. And the weaker we are, the more he can actually do through us. But we live in a culture that rewards the proud, that's quick to admire and cultivate pride. And humility is not a word we hear very often. But true humility attracts God's attention. Isaiah 66 says, "He who is humble and contrite in spirit, this is the one I esteem." And words like humble and modest and gracious and understated and quiet, they're not used very much these days. I felt really challenged. I was thinking, cool, if somebody asked somebody something about me, what words would describe me? Could they use words like that about me? Could they use words like that about you? And when it comes to the values that I'm living my life by, that you live your life by, what will others say are your values? Quiet, humble, modest, gracious. I was reading a John MacArthur book, and he loves to point out things. And he said, listen, you know, God didn't go to the elite of Egypt or Greece or Rome. He went to the shores of Galilee and used fishermen. He could have used these amazing people. You know, you read up, there's Socrates and Hippocrates, philosophers, and, you know, amazing people. But God didn't choose people like that. He chose ordinary people. Ordinary people. He put his amazing treasure in ordinary jars of clay, and he still does it today. And John MacArthur ends this section in his book by saying, he's still doing it. And I think we should remember that. He's still doing that. God is still doing that now. He is still taking ordinary, basic, flawed jars of clay like you and me, putting his treasure within it and using us for his glory. And verse 2 in our reading says, we do not use deception. And I felt, you know, that sometimes we get really frustrated. We do not want to be ordinary jars of clay. We really do want to be a Ming vase or a lovely, colourful Grecian urn. But, you know, we're loved for the boring brown jar of clay that we are. Lovingly created by God. No two of us the same. And somewhere along the line, the enemy plants a thought that says we should be like other people. We're not acceptable how we are, that our ordinariness is somehow a flaw, that if we tried harder, we'd get better. If only we're like that other jar of clay over there, then we'd really be accepted by God and used. And these are lies, and they have a devastating effect on us. We become restless. We don't like being the ordinary jar of clay that we are. We become dissatisfied, jealous, resentful, dismayed. And those thoughts gnaw away at us, and they eat away at who you are in Christ. They take our eyes off the fact that as ordinary as we are chosen by God. We are handmade by God. We are loved greatly by God because of who we are. And we forget that we have that treasure within us. And the result is we feel really broken inside. But I want you to know that God loves broken people. Why do we find it so hard to admit that we're fractured or broken jars of clay? We build our lives in ways that frantically try to cover up how damaged and cracked and flawed we are. Frail, imperfect, ordinary. And my experience is that the more broken we feel inside, the more we try to hide the broken pieces from other people, especially God. We try desperately to become something other than a jar of clay. I come from a very big northern family, and I love them, and they loved me, and I was very, very fortunate growing up because I could just be me with all my faults and failings and, you know, all my stuff, and they just accepted me and, you know, loved me. And it came as a real shock to me in my adult life when there came a period when I wasn't accepted for who I was. And the message I got from some very significant people in my life was that I was just not good enough. And it really, really hurt me. It made me feel like an outsider. I completely lost and couldn't find a sense of belonging. I'd moved away from my northern family and come to London. And I felt like a complete outsider, and I lived in fear of being judged and found lacking. So in my head, I gave myself a mission. I said, right, I'm going to be the best wife, the best mother, the best daughter-in-law, the best Christian I could possibly be. And that's what I set out to do. And I was exhausted. And I couldn't keep it up. And it took a much-loved pastor to say to me, listen, you can't do this. You can't role-play being somebody that you're not. I was trying to be the Grecian urn big time. And he said to me, let God restore the rejected part of you, that bit that you feel that's, you know, been hurt and damaged, because you're a treasured clay pot and you have his treasure within you. And I learned that God loves broken people and even those that pretend they're not. Because we all wear masks at some time or another, and we all try desperate to fit in. We all try to be somebody we think somebody wants us to be. We hide who we really are so people won't reject us or laugh at us. But it's a strategy that doesn't work, and we can't maintain it. I've had couples come to me for marriage prep. I love doing marriage prep. I was doing marriage prep yesterday morning. And unfortunately, they come about a couple of years down the line, and they can't work out. Something's gone terribly wrong. And he complains that she doesn't take care of herself, and she's self-centered and nags, and she says he's always on the games console and he's never interested in me. And they're miserable. And sometimes when we look, what we found out is they've won each other over by deception. They've been so desperate to belong that they've almost role-played being the person they thought the other person wanted them to be. But they couldn't keep that mask in place. They couldn't keep it up. They were so afraid that if the other saw their ordinariness, who they really were, that they'd be rejected and unloved. And it's a lie to think that we have to be somebody else other than who we are in order to be loved. I want you to encourage you. Be who you are. You are a much loved jar of clay. You don't have to hide. You're loved as you are. You do not need a mask because God sees you anyway. And he offers you Jesus. He's our righteousness. And he wants you to be free to be who you are. He wants you to be real and authentic. People who know their weaknesses and see their flaws, admit their mistakes, and cry out to him. To be the jars of clay that we are, but to stand firm. He specializes in taking ordinary jars of clay and displaying his power through them. And all about being fragile and easily broken, although the stubborn part of me hates to admit it. Because, see, we all have our limits, whether we like to admit it or not. Sooner or later, life catches up. It catches up with us, and we're broken on some level. We like to think we can handle anything, but we can't without Jesus. We like to think we can go on forever, And we can't. We like to think we can stand up to it for up to anything, and we can't in our own strength. We're much loved jars of clay, and our reading tonight reminds us that there is God-given treasure within us. Ordinary clay pots, fragile and broken, but God delights in us, and he puts his treasure in us. Paul didn't say in that reading, there you are, you're just basic brown jars of clay, end of. No. He said, you have a treasure within you. You have a treasure within you that is God-given. And when we think of treasure, we think of something physical. There was Google's April Fool's Day, I don't know if anybody spotted that, where it was saying that you could use this special thing on Google to read treasure maps and it would lead you to treasure, which really made me chuckle. Then they admitted it was an April Fool's joke. But we always think of treasure as being something physical, but Paul's not talking about an object. The gospel of Jesus is within us when we know him as Saviour. And that's a treasure within you to share with others. It's priceless. What's inside is of great importance. My younger sister probably still would not admit to this, but when I was growing up, there was this amazing sweet called a walnut whip. It was like a whirl of chocolate, and it had this most amazing, creamy, marshmallowy stuff inside. And it was like cream eggs. How do you eat it? You put your tongue down, little finger, what are you going to do with it? And she was renowned, and we knew it was her, but she would never say it was. She was renowned in my family for being the person that left the hollow whip, and she'd eaten all the inside. Because to her, I know, she felt that was the most important bit. But what's inside you is treasure from God. And there's no waiting till we're perfect, until we've succeeded, until we've become perfect, until we're like this person or that person. The reading tonight in verse 7 says, we have this treasure. We have this treasure now. We have this treasure to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The Spirit is within us now, and that's an amazing treasure to have inside us. And the gifts that the Spirit brings are amazing. Each one of you has a treasure inside you that's in the form of gifts and talents. And I want to tell you tonight, God wants you to use them, because they are part of that treasure within. And they may be laid dormant under layers of failure or fear or low self-esteem, but he wants you to use them. Maybe you're aware of them, but you're not sure how to put them to work. When we have a time of ministry at the end, come forward. Let's pray. Let's pray Jesus will release these gifts and talents within you. Why live below your God-given potential? They're there. The enemy is always out to steal this treasure. We only steal things that are of great value. And this treasure is of great value. God can take something that looks like nothing and create something wonderful from it. Don't dismiss what's within you. Let him restore you tonight. You're a much loved jar of clay. Lots of books you read have this line in. I think they all borrow it from each other, so I'm borrowing it because I couldn't remember which book I read it in. It said, God is looking for nobodies who will become somebodies. Like that. He's put this treasure in unremarkable jars of clay on purpose. Will you come tonight and be prayed for? Ask the Lord to release those gifts so you can use them for his glory. The treasure transforms us and empowers us for service. The treasure has power. Verse 8 tells us how hard we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed or perplexed. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I don't know about you, but I feel like that sometimes. I feel knocked about a bit, as we'd say up north. Because we live in a world that is stressful. We live in a world that's changing all the time. It's really hard. Precious. But you know, it's not the jars of clay we are that are tough. It's the strength we draw from the treasure within that helps us to stand firm. That's what helps us cope when the going gets tough. The spirit within us strengthens us and enables us to withstand the battering that the world gives us. It's the Holy Spirit transforming us, transforming that jar of clay and empowering us for service. The Spirit restored me from my rejection, from the rejection I experienced, because it really could have left me thinking I wasn't good enough for God and completely rendered me ineffective for Christ. I could have had that thought in my mind that said, it's no point me doing anything. I'm not good enough. I couldn't do it. But my pastor taught me to take the pain I felt and to offer it to God and ask him to restore me. And when you offer your pain to God, he honors that. You're giving the Spirit access then to come inside you and to heal you and restore you. You're being real and genuine before God. And he can take your pain and work it together for good. It's such a humbling thought that Jesus became the ultimate broken jar for you and me. The gospel of Jesus is an amazing treasure that you have within you when you believe in him. One of our most treasured possessions. And it's so encouraging to think that God uses ordinary people like you and me and that bunch of disciples and the other broken, dysfunctional people we'd read about in our Bibles. And he used them for his glory. And he challenges us to lay down the stuff, lay down the masks, lay down the roles that you've decided to play and be free to be yourself. Because what's outside is never, ever more important than what's inside. Don't get caught up with trying to be something other than a jar of clay. Don't try and tidy yourself up and not come to Jesus till you're presentable. Tonight, come as you are. Just come as you are. That's what he says to you. And I've been really praying that tonight God will really open your eyes as to how much he loves you. He'll really open your eyes and show you the treasure that he's placed within you. His salvation, his love, his spirit, gifts and talents, avenues of service. Surf from out of where you are. Don't wait. Accept the way he made you. Be emptied of yourself to make room for the Spirit. Allow him to change you, even if it's painful. Be filled and being filled by the Spirit. Be humble. Give God the glory. Be real. A flawed jar of clay. Be ready. Be ready and open to the Spirit. Use your treasure and pour it all out and serve him. I'm going to end by reading you a story from a book called The Emotionally Healthy Church. And as you're listening, listen to me with your human ears, but my prayer is God will speak to you spiritually. The story is called Walking as a Cracked Pot. There once lived a water carrier in India. He used two large pots for his task. He suspended a pole across his neck and attached a pot at each end of the pole. One of the pots had a big crack in it, while the other pot was perfect. The perfect pot always delivered a full portion of water from the stream to the master's house, while the cracked pot arrived back at the master's house half full every day. For 2 years, this water carrier made the same journey, and the perfect pot became proud of his accomplishments. The cracked pot was ashamed of its imperfection and miserable that it was able only to accomplish half of what it was made to do. And finally, one day by the stream, the cracked pot spoke to the owner about his failure and said, "I'm so ashamed of myself. I do want to apologize that I've only ever been able to deliver half my water to your house. There's a crack in my side which causes water to leak out, and because of my flaws, you don't get full value from your efforts." Then the water carrier replied and smiled. "As we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path." On that trip back from the stream, the cracked pot looked around. "Did you notice that there are flowers only on your side of the path, not on the side of the pot that's perfect?" "That's because I've always known about your flaw, and I took advantage of it. And I've scattered seeds on your side of the path, and every day while we've passed along these spots, you have watered them. And now for 2 years, I've been able to pick those beautiful flowers to decorate my master stable. Without you being just the way you are, I would not have been able to do this, and there would not have been beautiful flowers to grace my master's house. And this is the way that God works in you and me."